City Radio
for the 10 parishes
on 87.7 FM and streaming
on
www.10radio.org.
10 Radio
www.10radio.org.
You're listening to The Community Show on 10 Radio on 105.3 FM. And thank you for listening. And we're very pleased to welcome into the 10 Radio studio Guy Wilkes from The Wine Shed in Wiveliscombe. Good morning, Guy.
Morning.
It's lovely to see you in the studio. And we are going to be talking about the Great British Queue Jump.
I'm not sure about the jumping bit. That bit seems to have got lost in translation, so I've shortened it now to the Great British Queue.
The Great British Queue. Listeners will be confused.
They probably will be.
But not, hopefully, after we've talked to them.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Now, what Guy has done, he has created a poster which you will start to see all over the place. It's headed the Great British Queue. This is raising money for research into pancreatic cancer. And the Great British Queue is an event that's going to happen on the 10th of September at 10 o'clock at the Wine Shed in Wiveliscombe. Now, tell us briefly about the actual event and what the queue hopes to achieve.
Yeah. Well, the event is, as you say, is to raise money for Pancreatic Cancer UK. And for those that don't know, and news travels fast in a place like Wiveliscombe, but I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer back in the end of August after quite a long and protracted series of being prodded mostly in the Trossachs area of my very painful in the Trossachs, and so after a very long and protracted series of investigations at Musgrove Hospital, I was finally diagnosed with pancreatic cancer at the end of August, and I decided, having known very little about the pancreas and what the pancreas does, and doing research into my illness and what's involved, that there's something like 8,000 people in the UK which are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer every year, but life expectancy is very short because it's a very, very difficult cancer to detect.
Because the whole of this year you've been having tests, none of them have proved conclusive until the end of August, as you said. It's been really hard to pin down for the doctors and so on, to know what was going on.
Just because of where the pancreas is, it's not a very accessible organ, it's not very obvious, and therefore the symptoms are very difficult to detect. Although, having said that, it strikes me that having gone through the experience, actually the symptoms are pretty well consistent.
Mm.
It's just that it doesn't tend to be dealt with as quickly. And by the time those symptoms occur, in many cases, the cancer, the tumour is of such a size that it therefore becomes inoperable is the first thing, and also then becomes very difficult to treat through normal chemotherapy or radiotherapy.
So speed is of the essence.
Speed is of the essence. So I decided, having done all this research and having looked into my own illness, that more need to be made aware of pancreatic cancer in the first instance, and secondly, that there was a desperate need, for them to have money to be able to research it, because it's a complex disease, and the pancreas is a complex organ, but a very important organ, and more needs to be researched into how that organ can be affected, what treatments can be available. And at the moment, there's really only one treatment for most people, and that's one that's more about controlling it, not curing it.
No. In fact, this very week in the national news, we heard of the huge success rates in detecting and dealing with a whole array of cancers, which are giving people very many more years of active life
with
the exception of pancreatic and liver and lung
cancer. That's right.
So is it a matter of money into research, would you say, Guy, from your experience this year?
I don't know. It's difficult. I suppose I've been so focused on my own health.
Of course you have.
That I haven't really done a lot of research into exactly what would help. But my understanding is that that because of what happens with the disease, and because it tends to be got very late, the survival rate is so low, and I think the Pancreatic Cancer UK are trying to strive for greater survival rates. And I think so that they're not saying that they can necessarily spend thousands of pounds on trying to find a cure.
Mm.
I think it's about trying to extend survival rates, and that's my understanding of it. So I thought, well, right, I'm going to do something. So I'm going to raise some money. And actually, the catalyst was more down to Martin Broome, who wanted to organise an event for me to raise some money. And so organised a wine tasting, which turned out to be a very chaotic event, but was great because we raised £500 for a night of people of just great entertainment and fun. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do some other things, you know, to raise money. So this came out of really a dream that I've always had, which was when I started my little wine business in Withy, you know, 4.5 years ago. You know, I've always dreamed of having a queue forming outside of my shop, just like Thorns. You know, every Christmas there's always a queue outside Thorns. I thought, right, I will have made it
if
I can have a queue. And I thought, well, you know, actually, you know, the British love queuing.
I was going to say we love queuing. You know, what is it about queuing?
And we're so orderly in our queuing too.
We behave ourselves.
We do. And so I thought, well, what a great idea. I said, I can realise my dream of creating a queue outside my shop, but at the same time raise some money for a great cause and hopefully raise awareness for pancreatic cancer. So the idea is basically that, and this requires a bit of discipline from people really, because I don't want people having to stand around for hours getting bored. So the idea is that people turn up prompt at 10 o'clock. The queue is going to start at the shop in 25A North Street, which, for those that don't know, is sort of diagonally opposite the fire station.
The fire station, good position.
So the queue starts at the door of the wine shed at 10 o'clock. And obviously, if you arrive a little bit later than 10 o'clock, hopefully the queue will be trailing back further towards the town square. So if the queue happens to be at 10:05, happens to be in the square, well, that's where you join the queue. If at 10:05 the queue is we've only made it just past the fire station, well, that's where you join
Think
the queue.
Think big and stretch out.
But I really need, I mean, what I'm hoping for is to get upwards of 300 people, because I think that will get us a queue just about to the square.
So, Guy, have you done a sort of calculation here, it sounds like you have, of how much space a person takes
up? I have, roughly.
And how far, how far is it from the wine shed to the square?
Well, it's 400 metres.
Okay.
So
you're giving people a metre space, roughly?
It's roughly a metre space, which basically means, you know, it's a nice leisurely queue, not a crumpled queue. And it may be we've got to join hands to stretch it out a little bit. But, you know, I say 300 upwards. I mean, my aim would be lovely to actually get the queue getting into the square, up West Street, past Thorns, the butchers.
So that they can wait.
And curling back again. And I think it serves several purposes, really, because hopefully, as I say, you know, it's a bit of fun. There's going to be a bit of street entertainment. So we're going to have a slightly Beatles thing going with Colin Diamond's band playing on top of the garage.
How brilliant.
Someone's garage in North Street. Just for no more than 15, 20 minutes. I mean, you know, I don't want this to take up people's time. It's simply to arrive at 10, form the queue. Once the queue's been made, disband and gone, and everybody can go about their daily business. But what I think is great is that hopefully, you know, it'll be a community activity. You know, it's a great chance to sort of chat to people that you know or don't know in the queue. It might create a bit of a buzz too, hopefully create some extra people coming into Withy. If I can get enough PR and get people from outside coming in, you know, bring some more trade into the town on the day, just create a bit of a buzz and hopefully raise some money at the same time.
And it's a great time, the 10th of December, so we're all heading towards Christmas, you know.
We are, and if it's a little bit chilly, there's going to be some nice warming mulled cider.
Lovely.
To hand out to people.
The elves and slaves are going to hand out to
people. I'm
going to
have some slaves, yes.
Yes, good.
Yes, I am. And I say there'll be some street entertainment going on, but not for very long, but there'll be some there. So hopefully people won't get too bored in that 15, 20 minutes of queuing. And hopefully the 10 radio bus is going to be in the square. To create a bit of a focal point for the end of the queue. And then hopefully we'll get some great press coverage, do a few interviews on the morning, and you know, hopefully at the end of it have raised a reasonable amount of money and people have had some fun.
And the biggest thing in a sense. It's not all about money, but it's the awareness thing.
It is awareness, yeah.
Because, you know, your aim is to actually... I mean, this time a year ago, you didn't know anything about pancreatic cancer, I suspect, more than maybe...
No, and to be honest with you, I didn't really even know what my pancreas did.
No.
And,
no.
And actually, that's very... Most people that I talk to, you know, when I talk to them about the illness or, you know, my experience, say the same thing. I mean, they've got no idea what the pancreas does.
I mean... Tell us what it does, said she in a naive and dead way.
Well, I happen to have one with me that I made earlier.
Listeners, Guy is not, you know, whipping out one he made earlier.
No,
he's telling us the thing.
I'm going to tell you that...
All I can say, it is quite a small thing. It's
No, I think in terms of measurement, I mean, I think my tumour is 4.5 centimetres long, and it's roughly about half...
The length of the
organ. So your pancreas is around about 11 to 12 centimetres, I would say, in length. It's a sort of, if you imagine, it's almost like a sort of teardrop shape, and it sits sort of to the back of the stomach towards the spine on your left-hand side of your body. And it is responsible for two things, really. And probably the most important, well, they're both important, but the most important is that it actually secretes digestive enzymes. So it's responsible for basically processing or helping absorption of food.
Right.
So one of the symptoms of pancreatic cancer
is your food.
That basically you're not absorbing fats or proteins, so you start to lose weight. And that's really the key issue is actually weight loss.
So the food is basically going straight through you?
Straight through, yeah.
Right.
So you're not absorbing basically any of the nutrients.
And what's the second function?
And then the second function, so that's what they call the exocrine function. And the endocrine function is about your blood sugar levels. So it's your insulin levels and things like that. Now, there's still a debate in science as to whether that is solely responsible for, so if you're diabetic, for example, you've got low, you've got your blood sugars are all up the spout. But what I've read, the research I've read is that actually the insulin is very important for healing the pancreas itself. So every time you eat, effectively the pancreas is being damaged because of the digestive enzymes being released. So the insulin also has an important function about keeping the pancreas healthy.
What a fine balance, because it's doing sort of a load of other jobs.
So it's a very important
role. So if one thing starts to go wrong, it'll affect the other thing.
It will. And and I mean, you know, there are cases where people, you know, have had, you know, have had their pancreas, you know, removed and they've been replumbed, but it's a very complex and very dangerous operation. And so for the most part, I mean, you know, if there's damage to the pancreas, certainly from my point of view, it's the exocrine function, which is the digestive enzymes not getting through, then, you know, obviously you've got the whole weight loss issue, and it's then about trying to find ways of getting that back. So I have to take digestive enzyme supplements, you know, with every meal I have, everything I eat, I have to have a supplement in order to replicate what the pancreas is doing.
But I know that Shelley, your wife, is a nutritionist, and she and you have worked very very much on getting your diet.
Yeah, she's been brilliant.
Correct. Yes, you know, I mean,
if I hadn't have had Shelley, you know, it would be a.
You don't know how it would have gone.
No, it would have been a complete different. Because I mean, it's such a complex business. You know, your diet and the nutrients that you need and. You know,
we have no idea, do we? We shove stuff in our mouths because we think we feel hungry, but we don't know what it's doing to what.
No, we don't. And when you think about, you know, how much processed food we eat, which has got nothing in it.
Yes.
You know,
except
all the bad things.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, your pancreas is coping with that, but it's doing harm at the same time because it's having to cope twice as hard as it should do, and it's having an effect on your liver. And so, you know, there's a whole host of things that are all interconnected. And what it's taught me is that you know, to eat healthily for me is a way to survival, you know, or prolonging my life certainly. And actually, you know, interestingly enough, I've just had my half term report, and which is not great reading insofar as the tumour, you know, has stayed the same. So to me, that's a negative, not a positive. In other words, the chemotherapy that I've been having isn't working. For me, if it was working, it would be shrinking the tumour. So I've decided to stop my chemotherapy. And I'm going to focus very much on just diet homeopathic treatment for pancreas, which has been very interesting for me because that also has been a very positive side of the treatment, as far as I'm concerned.
And I know you told me that the actual treatment and conversations you've had because of that have been very encouraging and so on. And you're having acupuncture as well to
ease pain. I have acupuncture, although I hate needles.
Yeah.
So, but
it's amazing how they don't really come over as needles. You don't feel a thing, do you? And you,
well, I do. I do. I don't find it a very comfortable experience. But that's not to say that that should put people off, because I think, you know, I've embraced as many things as I possibly can, knowing that, you know, this is, you know, it's a disease which is difficult to treat. And therefore, I'm trying to do the best I possibly can in... You know, diet is by far and away the most important thing in that.
That's amazing. It'll be very interesting to see how your health goes over the next two or 3 months.
Well, I'm doing my own little experiment now.
Yeah. I mean, you could be quite leading the way in this form of treatment because you decided, through looking at it in a very logical way, that chemotherapy is not for you because the downside of chemotherapy is so vile that you just don't want to... go down that route anymore.
Well, nobody can scientifically prove to me that the chemotherapy is working.
No.
So I said, well, okay, if it's not working and it means getting my life back again, you know, then I'm prepared to take that risk.
Mm.
But knowing that I've still got the homeopathic pancreatic cancer treatment and also diet and keeping fit, I mean, exercise is really important too.
Yes.
So when they say to you, actually, when you're going through this process, you should... you know, listen to your body. And actually, I feel pretty good at the moment. And you know, if anybody saw me in the street, okay, they might say I've lost a bit of weight. But I'm not dribbling from the corner of my mouth or anything.
And, no, you're not. You just look skinny.
Yes. But well, I've always looked skinny.
But you always have done. Exactly so. Exactly so.
So, you know, my fighting weight would be, you know, 10.5 stone. So it's not huge by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
You know, I'm 5'11", so I'm not exactly tiny either you know, in terms of height. So... but you know, I've been down as low as 8 stone, and I'm now back up to nearly 9.
Fantastic.
So I'm trying to do everything I can, you know, to keep myself fit and positive mentally too. That's the other thing.
Well, I was just going to say, through all of this journey, this whole year must have been just such an emotional roller coaster for you and Shelley and the family and your friends. And apart from having Shelley and all of that support, how have you remained so grounded and positive about this?
I don't know. I'm not sure I can answer that question. I mean, as a character, I mean, I've always been a bit of a fighter.
Mm.
So, you know, in terms of business or sport or whatever it might be, I'm competitive.
Mm. And a glass half full person.
No, actually, I'm a glass half empty.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Which makes me a realist.
Okay. Okay.
And I think, I don't know, I've just approached this whole thing. I mean, whilst it was a shock, and having been through so many sort of investigations, if you like, and I've had my gallbladder out, and you know, that was all a red herring, and I think, you know, you go through all these sort of processes, and you go through the whole NHS system, and you sort of, you know, sort of gnash your teeth a bit and think, actually, you know, something's not right here. And I don't know. And I've always had, you know, a reasonable amount of humour as a personality too. And I just sort of thought, well, from the outset, I'm just going to accept what comes along, but treat it with humour.
Mm.
And I think, you know, my experiences certainly in terms of my diagnosis and you know, my meetings with my oncologist and things like that. I mean, if I didn't have a certain amount of black humour, you'd be so depressed that you just wouldn't probably want to carry on living anyway.
So somebody with much less strength, innate strength and humour at the back of it would possibly just crumple and accept
and I've thought about that a lot, because I thought, you know, people that don't have good support around them, and maybe also, you know, don't they accept what they're being told by the professionals,
yes,
in inverted commas.
Yes.
I just think, yeah, I've thought a lot about that and thought, actually, there's a lot of people that could have been just swept away by the whole thing and lost in the mire of the technicality of it all. And I think, yeah, I mean, I just feel very sorry for a lot of people.
Mm.
And I encounter that in hospital a lot, you know, when I've been in hospital and you can't help but listen to other conversations.
Sure.
And you think, actually, the way some people are being treated is just appalling.
And people on their own without the support you've got very and that you're encouraging.
Yeah. So I've been very, I count myself as very lucky. I've got great, you know, great family, great friends. You know, everybody's been fantastic. But also at the back of it, I've got this humour and I've got this slightly, I don't know, I can't, it's almost slightly perverse really, because, you know, I'm treating it almost as if it's a bit frivolous really. Mm. You know, I'm sort of, if people come up to me and sort of say, oh, you know, I'm terribly sorry. I mean, I just want to laugh about it really, because to me, there's nothing anybody can do. You know, what is there is there. You know, I'm trying to do the best I can to treat myself and to have the treatments that are on offer. But there's nothing more I can do. And therefore, you know, if you can't treat it with humour, I think, you know, actually you would be lost.
Mm.
Well, that's my view anyway.
Well, I think that's an amazing answer. And much of that's to do with coming back to the Great British Queue, you know, that is all part of it, because it does say that you want people to be slightly unruly, but not illegal.
Yes, I think I sort of, I said, you know, I think, I can't remember what my exact words were, I think it was form a disorderly queue.
A disorderly queue.
Yeah, so I want...
To raise money.
Yes, I don't want people to just stand there silently.
Somberly.
Yes, I want it to be a fun event.
Oh, we could start singing. Heckling.
Well, they'll say there'll be some music anyway. There'll be a few buskers, hopefully, and there'll be some people rattling tins. You can choose to ignore them or not. It doesn't really matter. Mm. It's just about, I suppose, a community event. Mm. You know, say if I can raise some awareness and raise some money at the same time, then great.
Well, that's.
But it's actually a very selfish. I mean, the whole thing is a very selfish thing, and it's about actually me realizing this dream of having a queue forming outside the shop. So. Yeah.
I don't think that's selfish. I think that's just a reflection of what Wivy's like, because we all know about Thorns, particularly on Christmas Eve and all of that. So that's just a reflection of, you know, how great it is here to be part of this community and do stuff like
that. Well, yes, and hopefully it'll, say, if we can get people in from outside of Wivy and, you know, we can continue to sort of shout about Wivy, then so much the better too.
Well, and the press coverage you mentioned, I mean, you're hoping to get the TV there, certainly the papers, photographs, the whole thing to spread the word. And so if anyone is in doubt, don't be Saturday the 10th of December at 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. Yeah.
10 a.m. in the morning outside the wine
shop. Come early if you want to. Mm. I mean, the quicker the queue forms, the quicker we can all get on with it.
And you'll get somewhere maybe to park as well.
Well, you will, yes.
Maybe park in Langley Marsh or something or other. But,
you know, I mean, so the aim is to get the queue certainly back into the square. And if we can get it going up West Street as well, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? And slow the traffic down a bit and create a bit of a noise about supporting research into pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
Guy, thank you so much for, you know, being so straightforward and honest about your illness and about what you are doing to fight it yourselves. Because it is a joint thing with you and Shelley and your family.
Definitely,
you're looking at this in a very different way from most of us. And I admire you hugely. So, we can look forward to the 10th of December at 10 o'clock.
We can. I'm saying this is the start of my official retirement party.
Well, we'll be there dancing, singing, jumping around. And I hope all listeners on 10 Radio will be as well. So, Guy, thank you so much indeed. We'll carry on promoting this on 10 Radio until the day and speak to you again. And Anton, I know you've got some music lined up.
I thought if there's going to be a lovely queue outside your shop, Guy, there'll be hopefully lots of people who do lots of lovely dancing. Here's a nice track for them to dance to. It's the band and Rag Mama Rag.